Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Joining me right now is Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post. It's been a while since we've had Jesse on the show. He used to cover the Nats, and now he is writing about things like the state of college sports as it relates to getting outright paid to play with an associated salary cap and, you know, what's happening with NIL, etc. Jesse wrote over the weekend. He just wrote again today, and he joins me right now. So, look, I know that this is an ever-changing, very dynamic situation, but I just want you to start, Jesse, with the basics. You know, we've had this wild, wild west era of NIL for the last few years. It's led to, you know, something akin to annual unrestricted free agency for college athletes. What happened over the weekend with that district judge approving, a major change to college athletics? Where are we right now as we head into, you know, a fall of college football and then another, you know, big college basketball season?
Yeah, I appreciate the way you introduced my coverage area, too, because when people ask me what I cover, I usually just say, if it confuses you in college sports, I'm probably writing about it. So that's kind of my unofficial coverage area. So last Friday, a judge in Northern California approved what's sort of colloquially known as the House Settlement for college sports. And what that's going to do is it's a consolidation of three major cases that basically challenged NCAA restrictions on athletes getting paid or athlete compensation. So in the backward side, it's going to pay athletes out and their lawyers $2.8 billion. I mean, that's a big class of athletes. So some will make big checks. A lot of people will make like $2, right?
This is for past athletes.
That's for past athletes and some current ones that are in a certain window.
Okay.
But more importantly, for the current landscape, this settlement is basically going to set the new economic model for college sports, which means that for the first time ever, schools will be able to pay athletes directly, not just through boosters and booster groups that we call collectives. And then on top of that, the NCAA and the power conferences are attempting to use the settlement and the rules it established to actually curb a lot of that booster spending, to make it so NIL deals are more about marketing and are in line with something closer to what they're deeming fair market value. Now, there's a lot of thorny legal questions with that, free market principle versus enforcement, but that's basically the gist. We're on the sort of tip of the spear now of this new era that will start officially July 1st when schools can start paying athletes directly for the first time.
Okay, so let's try to explain the new economic model and paying, you know, athletes directly rather than the way they've been paid for the last few years and probably were paid even before the era of NIL. So how will it work? I mean, maybe we just use the Big Ten as an example in a school like Maryland, which I'm an alum of and many people who are listening are familiar with.
Yeah, so the payment model is being referred to as revenue sharing. basically the idea is that athletes will finally share in the revenue they generate instead of, as you mentioned, the schools relying on outside third parties, boosters, et cetera, to pay them, which has been legal, quote unquote, for the past 3 years. And then, as you pointed out, was been going on for decades before that. It just happened to McDonald's bags and, right, and what have you. So the revenue share payments to athletes, each school will start out with a salary cap of around $20.5 million. Now, that cap's going to rise each year for the next 10 years, is what this legal settlement covers. But basically, they have that money now to pay athletes. And what a lot of schools are going to do, what I imagine actually most Power Four schools will do, is give a lot of that money to football players and men's basketball players, and then give a little bit of that money to women's basketball players, and then give an even smaller portion of that money to everybody else. And the reason why they believe they have legal cover to do that, and I believe it's going to actually just invite a lot more lawsuits and whatnot, but the reason why they believe they do is because that's the formula that was also used to divvy up that $2.8 billion I just mentioned on the back damages. Now, I know we're getting a little in the weeds here, but basically, the back damages decided that because football and basketball players had generated a lot of that revenue they weren't able to get in the past, that most of it should go to those former athletes in those sports. And now schools are going to use that justification to say, well, now that we're sharing revenue with athletes in 2025 and 2026, we believe that because those sports make the most money, those athletes should also make the most money. So you're going to start to see schools publicize their plans. University of Georgia is one. If you're interested in this, Google it, because they've put out their exact formula of which sports will get which shares of that $20.5 million. And I think their system is very indicative of how schools like Maryland, Michigan, Big Ten peers, Big 12 peers, ACC peers will also handle this.
So just tell me real quickly, what's Georgia's plan?
Georgia's plan is basically to give a really, really big share to football. I don't know the exact numbers. I think it's in the 12 to 13 range. A really big share to men's basketball. And then I believe around $1,900,000 to women's basketball. And then around $1,900,000 to every other sport.
Right.
So if you think about it as a pie chart, football's going to take up about three quarters. Now I'm terrible at math. But around three quarters or whatever
right.
it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then basketball will fill up some of that, and obviously a much smaller roster. Although men's basketball players in this era have made a lot of money because, as we see in the NBA, one guy can actually affect the score a lot differently, unless it's a quarterback, than football players, right?
Yeah.
Point guards and centers and power forwards are really valuable in this era, too, in college sports. And then the other sports kind of get put in this bucket where they're getting a really small share.
So let's just say, like, let's call it $20 million, $15 million goes to football. What happens then? How do they pay that $15 million out to roughly 100 players that are on the team?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be really interesting. I don't think it's going to be, you know, everyone gets the same amount. Because
no.
That's just not how the world works. I think we see that in the NIL era, too. Like, boosters don't pay every athlete the same. There are some schools who did programs like every offensive lineman or every softball player. But in football, I mean, quarterbacks, running backs, like, these are all going to be part of negotiated contracts. I mean, personnel directors and NIL directors at schools deal a lot with agents, some of whom are from the big companies we know, CAA, WME, Drew Rosenhaus Group, and some of whom are players' barbers or uncles or friends from the chemistry class. I mean, it's been, you know, when you say Wild West, I think a lot of people might use that to say it's crazy that athletes are getting paid, and I don't think that's your point either. I think when people say that, it's lack of regulation has just created a crazy world that so many people are sort of clawing for bites of the apple.
Right.
So when we think about how that money's going to get divvied up, it's going to be all negotiated, and you're going to have a salary cap and a budget and a payroll, just like pro sports. We've seen a lot of college teams hire former GMs, personnel directors from the NFL, from the NBA, scouts, people who know this because it's the professionalization of college sports, but really, I think while a lot of that's transferable, it's also so many different dynamics too. It's just been a really crazy world.
On, let's just call it, you know, the $20.5 million salary cap for the Power Four schools, it's up to $20.5 million, right? It doesn't mean that they're not going to be required to spend $20.5 million, in part because some schools won't have it to spend, right?
No, for sure. Yes. And you had asked about sort of Big Ten peers like Maryland. I expect a lot of those schools to get either at that number or really close. But like, for example, Morgan State, the Maryland school, came out and said they want to participate in this settlement. it's optional for any non-P4 school, whether they want to pay their athletes and then be subject to other rules like new roster limits and things of that sort. But Morgan State's going to pay, like, you know, less than $500,000 a year to its athletes. And I believe they're going to only really do it in basketball, maybe some football. And their angle is, we want to really be competitive in our conference. We want to win recruiting battles against the school next door. We're not trying to be Duke, obviously. But they see an advantage where if they can cobble together the money from donors or from the couch cushions in their apartment, their department budget, to do that, they think it's an advantage. And I think there's a perception, too. Look at us. We're a small school, but we can participate in this new world. We can join the professionalization of college sports in a way that, you know, State U down the road, who you might be considering, too, as a Morgan State recruit, they're not doing it. So I think it's a great point, and something I should make sure to mention is that not every school is going to participate, and not every school is going to spend to the limit. But there's going to be a lot of interesting ones, like even some schools maybe launch into trying to monetize it for specific sports, soccer programs, volleyball. Can we stand out in softball, even if we don't have a football program? There's going to be a lot of that going on, and the sort of, I think a lot of schools also might wait a little bit, see it for a year, and then opt in later to see how does this play out, and then how can we fit into the landscape.
All right, sticking with the salary cap and the Power Four schools, will players be forced to sign a contract?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A lot of them will, yeah. And I think players want them, too, in some cases, too. They want the school to have liability that they'll honor the commitments. And obviously, that's a negotiation, and the more experienced lawyers will leverage that, or agents, rather, will leverage that. I think a lot of athletes may be going to these fairly blind, and schools will say things like, well, every athlete signed the same contract. All right, cool, let me sign my signature. And you might be binding on something you didn't really want to do, and later you say, man, now I'm trying to transfer, and I need to pay back half that money, or they're saying I need to be here for 3 years, or else I face financial penalty. Like, there's a lot of intricacies in this world, and I think without players' unions, without like an NFLPA-type group or NBAPA, like, there's big questions on how this stuff all gets worked out. There's a lot less oversight on both sides for the players, for the schools. So it's there's going to be a year, 2 year, 3 year period here where I think there's more questions and answers on things like that. But we're going to see it sort of attacked and handled in probably 1,000 different ways because there's just so many more programs and schools and coaches and agents than there are in pro sports. So there's creativity, but there's also subverting the system. There's also taking advantage of people and bad actors. So there's a lot going on.
I guess I'm wondering if this creates an environment where the transfer portal slows down, where it becomes much less than what it's been. Because in my opinion, Jesse, in many ways, it's been the, you know, the player that comes in for 1 year and then, you know, bids it out for the next year, unrestricted free agency, something professional athletes haven't even had. That's been more off-putting than the money itself. And I'm wondering if this salary cap associated contracts with players will limit or at least slow down the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think it could to a degree. And I think that's definitely a big focus for the NCAA. I think they want to limit booster spending because booster spending has largely fueled that mass transferring. I mean, it's like you said, it's annual free agency, but it's also annual free agency without budgets. It's also annual free agency where tampering rules are really, really hard to enforce. And I think on one hand, you say, well, athletes are really tied into situations for a long time. They've sort of been waiting for this freedom. But then there's the question of how much freedom is too much, and does it hurt the product? And does it hurt these athletes in some cases, too? So, I mean, I think on one hand, it's probably good that players can at least get closer to making the decisions coaches do. The public doesn't generally fault someone from going from Murray State to Kentucky after a great season.
Right.
For obvious reasons. But I think your point is spot on. Like, it's really hard to get behind these teams when you can't see the same group grow together, or you can't see the three-year arc of a player. And that used to be the allure of college sports versus sort of player movement in professional sports. And it's actually reverted back. I mean, what we see guys in baseball sign 12-year contracts. And that's, think about that time versus, you know,
sure,
sometimes a college career could be 12 weeks. You know, so it's I think there's a lot of introspection going on there, because I think there's a recognition that the player movement as such is probably not sustainable. And there's going to be real effort to curb that for sure.
By the way, as it relates to, you know, this $20.5 million, the new economic model, we'll get to NIL in a moment. Would a contract that gets signed be a contract that would be a 1099 independent contractor, or would it be a W-2 employee kind of structure?
Yeah, that's really a question. So the employee, they're not going to be employees. So there will be no employment contracts, at least not right now. A lot of some efforts to unionize or to have athletes recognized as employees have died on the vine. There's still a federal lawsuit that's going on that could make that happen. But the NCAA is staunchly opposed athlete employment for a really long time. And the reasons for that are, you know, pretty dynamic. But I mean, one of them is being afraid of paying minimum wage to all athletes. Another one is being afraid of paying out workers' comp. It's a financial thing. But I think one thing that others would argue, and to some of your questions earlier, is that the reason why there's so much perceived structure in professional sports is because there's collective bargaining agreements. And collective bargaining agreements can only happen if there's an employee-employee relationship
right.
to bargain with.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people who've called repeatedly for collective bargaining in college sports, and they're well-meaning. The piece they don't always answer is, okay, great, but what about the employment status? So one sort of has to come with the other. There's been calls for a congressional carve-out to collectively bargain without employee status. I think that's a real long shot. But, so there isn't employment, and that's a whole other podcast episode, I think, or if you want to have me on, but it's a really complex question that continues to be deliberated.
Okay, so we have something that begins July 1st, which is the Power Four conferences, the big conferences with football and men's basketball and, you know, all of these other sports, there's going to be a salary cap where they're going to be able to pay the players directly and look for, you know, 75% to go to football, you know, 15% to go to men's basketball, maybe a couple of percentage points to women's basketball, and then the rest to the other 20 whatever sports. That's separate, though, correct, from NIL. So what's going on with NIL moving forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, because if you think about it, what has been the motivation for boosters forever? And that's get ahead. And if everyone's sort of spending with a similar formula, there are always going to be people who want to help their team, their favorite college, their coach that invites them to the Rotary Club, all those things. There's always going to be that person or many of those people who want to still help the team get ahead. And in the last 4 years, since NIL was approved in July of 2021, what that's meant is just giving an unchecked amount of money to these NIL collectives. A lot of times it was deductible to your taxes, and off you go. We saw reports, I wrote a story last year about Ohio State's $20 million football roster. That's where that comes from. Oregon, you know, a lot more money. Nike money from Phil Knight and other donors. You know, all these things. Now the NCAA, as I said earlier, is trying to limit that spending. They're trying to rein it in. They want NIL to mean a deal from State Farm if you're Caitlin Clark, or a deal from the local car dealership in College Park if you're a smaller-time Maryland athlete. They do not want NIL to mean a booster gave $500,000 to help pay the quarterback, who now is going to make that money for sending out three social media posts promoting a T-shirt.
Right.
That's what these deals have done. They've sort of built in some sort of action or service, a charity event, an autograph session, three social media posts, an appearance at a dinner, and they've attached that to money that, you know, I think the free market would say that booster can decide that that social media post is worth that much money. But if you're a casual observer, you're like, dang it, how much money for what? And the NCAA is really trying to weed that out. So what happens now is, does it go back onto the table? Are there workarounds where that regulation doesn't work? Are there lawsuits that challenge that regulation? Does Congress pass a bill that allows them to regulate in the way they want to? So the question of what happens with sort of the booster economy of NIL is a fascinating one. It's really hard to answer right now because we're so soon after the settlement, but it's the biggest question, because there's no world in which every single SEC football program is spending the same amount of money on its roster. That's just not how this has ever worked, ever. And there's a reason for that, because there's egos and there's donors and there's seats to get out and there's, you know, and there's golf outings to go to with the AD and the coach. And I just don't see a world in which we're all actually spending to the same salary cap. I don't think that's just possible in this economy. And maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's where I want to see it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hope all's well.
Yep. Awesome.
Jesse Dougherty, everybody, from the Washington Post. Really interesting times. We've got a true salary cap now in college sports moving forward. All right, that is it for the day. Chris Russell is up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.